Many years ago, I was in boot camp. I was going through boot camp my second time. I was 30 years old at the time. First time I went through, I was 18. And I was standing there watching these kids going through the obstacle course. I was 30 years old, already starting to feel I was 30 years old. And the drill instructor, I was ex-Navy. They used to make fun of me. And the drill instructor looked at me and he saw the worried look on my face. And he said, "It ain't nothing but a thing. This too shall pass." I sit out there listening to these guys that have been preaching for years and who have a whole lot more experience and talent than I do. And I'm thinking, what my drill instructor said to me, what was it, 30 years ago now? "It ain't nothing but a thing, man. Amen. This too shall pass." Okay. A little bit about Poland before I start. On an average night in our prayer meeting, 8 people. A good portion of those people are Americans. I've been there 14 years. As a Baptist missionary that I'm meeting at least once a week now for preaching, because this guy needs encouragement, but I tell you what, it's like I do. I've preached for him in his church, and he's been there a little bit longer than I have. He has 10 people in his church. Spread of the gospel is slow. In 1999, when I first got to Poland, 14 plus years ago, having been pumped up by all the incredible stories of what God did in Mexico, I was convinced that God was going to do the same thing in Poland. Well, to this point, it ain't happened. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen in the future.
Amen. That's right.
But at this point, it hasn't happened. As I was sitting out there and I was listening to Mike, I sat down and I made a list. Mike, I'm glad you said what you said. It takes the mystery away of the calling. Would you like to hear a list that I made about a calling? I was going to keep it for Sunday. This is what I've seen in the 14 years I've been there. No, I don't have the experience of the years that Joe has. But this is what I've seen. Okay. Practical suggestions. Are you called? This is just what I wrote down. In 5 minutes. Here we go. If any of you are thinking about going to the foreign field, I suggest you write this down. I do have a lot of experience, even though it's not 38 plus years or whatever, however many Joe has. Okay, number one. Do you have a gift for languages? That's very important. Very important. If you don't. I mean, is that clear enough? In my opinion, and as Pastor Kincaid always told me, "Robert, do you have the humility to admit that you may be wrong?" I may be wrong. Do you have a gift for languages? In my opinion, if you don't go. It's number one. Of course, there's a lot of foreign countries around the world would actually speak English. So that eliminates your first one. Okay, this is one that Pastor Brian said to me before I left. I'm sure he doesn't remember saying this, but it stuck with me for 14 plus years. Are you winning souls here in your own country? If you haven't won them here, don't go there. It doesn't get easier. It gets harder because you ain't one of them. And you'll never be one of them. Never. Even if the skin color is the same, everything else is different. You'll never be one of them. If you don't have a gift of languages in... My name's Robert, it's not Bob. I hate Bob. But that's a side issue. On my birth certificate, it says Robert, but anyway, it's neither here nor there. Okay. Do you have a gift for languages? If you don't, in Robert's opinion. Are you winning souls in your own country? If you're not, don't, in Robert's opinion. Practical advice. Thank you, Mike. There's more. Do you have a tendency towards depression or discouragement? No, this ain't funny, folks. Do you have a tendency towards depression or discouragement? If you do, Poland is out. It's not an option, in my opinion. This is the gospel according to Robert. Do you work well with others? If you don't. Especially in our situation here, where you send out with groups. God is a practical God. You can see it all over the world. Everything works together. It's interchangeable even. If you don't have a gift for languages, don't. You haven't won souls here in your own country, don't. You have a tendency to discouragement and depression. Don't, especially Poland. Do you work well with others? If it's no, don't. Save yourself, man, woman. I'm trying to help you. Because I like you. You are my people. Those people over there are not my people. You're my people. And I want to help you, you know. Do you hate cold? Do you hate heat? If you hate cold, don't go to Poland. Crying me mother's sakes, folks. You know that 9 months out of the year in Poland, I might be exaggerating. I hate exaggeration. I have people here who can correct me. 9 months out of the year, an overcast comes over, and it's like you never see the sun in Poland. And it's so cold that the snot coming out of your nose, it freezes when you're preaching. You could pick it off and pick your teeth. If you hate the cold, don't go to Poland. When I was in the Navy, I was in Egypt. You know, it's hot in Egypt. And you know what? Not only. It's humid in Egypt. If you don't like the heat or the humidity, don't go to one of those places. Practical advice. Maybe that means don't go to Mexico. I've never been there. I don't know. Do you have a gift of languages? If you don't, don't. Are you winning souls in your country? If you haven't, don't. Do you have a tendency to a depression and discouragement? If you do, don't. Do you work well with others? If you don't, don't. Do you hate the cold? Do you hate the heat? If yes is the answer for either of those, don't. Do you have a temper? Oh. Do you have a temper? We do street preaching in our ministry, man. And often people do not agree with us. We irritate them. And they do bad things to you. Sometimes. Sometimes they spit on you. Sometimes they break your ribs and put you in the hospital. Then you must live with the pain the rest of your life. If you can't handle people doing that to you without losing your cool, don't! I struggle in all of these things. That's why I'm such an expert at it. If somebody would have told me, give me this list before, I probably wouldn't have. Do you have a temper? Hey, look, he got a temper. When you're up there street preaching, I don't know, it's probably different for Joe. Joe is so calm, cool, and collected. But when you're street preaching, when I'm street preaching, I'm scared. And I've been doing this a long time. Every time I am scared. And when you're scared, you're tense. Uh-huh. Amen. Sometimes I'm even shaking. Amen. And so all someone has to do is just, and I'm off. If you got a temper, don't. Because we do street preaching. And having a temper when you're street, when you're a street preacher is really, is dangerous. Yeah. And you can destroy your testimony. Amen. Huh? Do you love comfort of America? There ain't no better country in the world, folks. If everybody in the world is honest, they would actually say that. Even though most of them never even been here. They've seen enough TV. No place is like this place. If you like the comfort of America and you love the comfort of America, don't! Save yourself some misery. That's all I could think about in 5 minutes. Does that help you? Thank you for opening up the practical aspect of the calling. We get too mystical. We really do. Okay, that wasn't really what I planned to talk about. But anyway, Spread of the gospel is slow. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Spread of the gospel is slow. And this is a normal thing. This is a biblical thing. Matthew 13, 31 to 33. The Lord Jesus said, the Son of God said, the one who created the whole world said. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Slow progress is written all over these verses. This is talking about the spread of the gospel, I'm convinced. Yes, I might be wrong. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, I'm under the impression that this is the group of people, God's elect people, if you're me, the group of people that have trusted Christ, are born again, want to serve God. That is God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. According to these verses, it starts off as the least of all seeds. Now, the Creator of all things said that this is the least of all seeds. So if anybody knows, He knows. The kingdom of heaven, that group of people from the beginning was small. Of course, we go back far enough, we find out Adam and Eve, there's only two of them on the whole world. And some people, some preachers preach that they don't even think Adam was saved. I don't know. We'll find out someday. But if Adam wasn't even a saved man after the fall, that leaves only Eve. So it started out really, really small, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, from the beginning was very, very small. Then they move on a little bit farther, and these two people, Mama Adam and Papa... Mama Adam? Yeah. No! Mama Eve and Papa Adam, they have two babies, not only. Cain and Abel, right? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven was growing, maybe, if Adam and Eve were saved. Some say they weren't even saved. But we find out that Abel, it seems to me, was a believer and was actually righteous in God's eyes. So if mom and dad weren't even saved, maybe Abel was. But it's still a very small thing. And the growth... it's not very fast. Then you go on to Noah. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of years after the beginning. And they were having babies right and left. So there was a lot of people on the world already. But when it came down to it, there was only eight after God wiped them all out after the flood. And of those eight people, there's a suggestion that one of them wasn't even saved, Ham. Wasn't he condemned by Noah? I don't know. We'll find out someday. But the whole idea from the passage of Scripture, well, from the Scriptures, is that the growth of the kingdom of God is very slow. Move on to Abraham. Father Abraham, the father of the faith, he had to leave his country. All his family, everybody he'd ever known, to go to a faraway land, and it looked to me like he was the only believer. Maybe Sarah. Right? Maybe. It was so bad that Abraham had to send his servant back to his home, far, far away, to get a wife for his son. It turned out, it looked to me like she was an idolater. Idolater? Because she had to steal some statues, right? Am I getting the stories mixed up? She was an adulterer. So she possibly, she wasn't even a part of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God. It's a possibility she wasn't even part of the group that would one day spend eternity with God in heaven. Elijah, the great prophet, he was going around wiping out the enemies of God. He got discouraged and he complained to God and said, I'm the only one. God said to him, there's 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to the image of Baal. We think, wow, 7,000 people. That's a lot of people. Well, that's a big church in America. That's not a lot of people. If you take into consideration the size of Israel in those days, there's probably 1 million people at least living in that country. If you take into consideration the size of the population of the earth in those days, 7,001, including Elijah, that's not many people that are part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It doesn't get any better. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of all things, came to earth, was doing miracles, saying wonderful things, got a big crowd, multitudes were following Him. But the first time He said something that nobody understood, not even His favorite disciples, everybody left. But 12. And one of them was a devil. The growth of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, has always been slow, has always been small, has always been a remnant people, in my opinion. The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest apostle. I'm not sure he was the greatest preacher that ever lived, because he himself said that he couldn't speak well. He said his letters were great, but when you actually saw him, it wasn't much to him. And his speech was contemptible. But he had a following. He was leading people to Christ. But you know what? In the end, he sadly said, "Only Luke is with me." The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That group of people that have spent for eternity with their Creator, their Savior, is not a big group. It might be someday. We're going to go through that. But to this point, it hasn't been. Turn to Mark, please. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 26. This is a parable. It's like the other one, but with a few details not recorded in Matthew. Again, the emphasis is on the small size of the kingdom from the beginning and the long length of growing time, in my opinion. And of course, my interpretations are not inspired, and I will never think they were, because I might be wrong. Start at verse 26. It says, and he said, the Lord Jesus says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full grain, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is grown, there is hope, folks. When it is grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Small kingdom, huge area. Verse 26. So the kingdom of God, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. This kingdom of God is growing. It could be the gospel he's speaking of. The gospel is being cast out, the ground being the earth, the ground being possibly talking about unbelievers everywhere that we contact with the gospel, possibly. But the size is emphasized, how small it is. When I was a little boy, I always had a garden. And sometimes I would get out there and sow my seed for my garden, just like they do in Bible times. I didn't know that at the time. But I would just get out there and I'd be just throwing the stuff. Then I'd turn the dirt over on top of it. And that's how I planted my garden. But you know, even as a 8 or 10 year old boy, when I was out there planting my garden, once I released the seed, it was so small, even though I was that tall, and I looked down at the ground, I couldn't see it. It was so small. This shows you the size of the seed of the gospel of the people of God in comparison to the world. We've always been a remnant people. I'm not sure we're always going to be, though. We'll talk about that farther on. Size the area, the ground. Oh, I liken this to street preaching. The idea, the method of street preaching. When we get out there and we are preaching the gospel like many of you guys do in the streets, most of the people out there are unsaved. They're not Christian. They're not Christians, folks. But when we're out there, it's like we're lofting the precious seed of the gospel into the air. And it is bouncing off of people's hearts. The Bible says that the seeds will only take root in the good hearts. And God is the one that makes the people that have the good hearts. So, but our job is to cast that seed, sow it everywhere to everyone. Okay, verse 27, let's move on. Growing long sower ignorant. Verse 27. And should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. He knoweth not how? No, rising night and day. Like, once again, this farmer is getting up and he's going out to check his field. He probably knows how long it's going to take, vaguely. Or if he's really good, he's been doing it for a long time. He knows probably the week that it's going to come up, but he doesn't know the second. So he's ignorant of the time that somebody is really going to get saved. He's ignorant of the place where the fruit is going to sprout up from the ground. Because we, only God knows. He's ignorant as to where the good ground is, the good heart is, where the seed of the gospel will take root, bring forth fruit unto salvation. Only God knows. But we're commanded to sow it everywhere. In my opinion, he knoweth not how. I think maybe it's talking about, could be, the mystery of the new birth. Only God understands. Look at John 3:8. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 8. Famous verse. It says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." We don't know who is born again. We don't know who is going to be born again. We don't even know when a person is born again. I get uncomfortable when people say, "At 10 o'clock, on April 10th, 1912, I was born again." As if we really know when God rejuvenated our heart, the actual second. As if we know when our faith was actually belief from the heart. We don't know that. So how can we say, "I was born again on this"? I'm deviating. He knoweth not how. Could it be talking about the new birth? I'm not sure. Let's move on. Fruit comes only after a long, long process. Mark 4, verse 28. Mark 4, verse 28. The woman then let... Whoa, where am I? I'm in John still. Mark 4:28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. That's an interesting phrase. For the first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Emphasis again on the time and on the process. There are certain steps must be taken in preaching the gospel. You got to get them saved. You got to get them lost before you get them saved. You know, I say that to people often, and Christians look at me, but they're all lost. And I have to explain, again, you got to get them lost before you get them saved. And the hardest thing is to get them lost. As we all know, the hardest thing to do is to get a person lost. Our stinking pride is always there, interfering, teaching us, whispering in our ear, oh, you're not that bad. Everything's going to be okay. Without an intervention of God's Holy Spirit, we can't see how bad we are. And we're dead in trespasses and sins anyway. How can we see unless God intercedes and works a miracle? But I won't go there. Don't worry. Full fruit. In this passage of Scripture, it talks about full fruit not till the last. Once again, in my opinion, I might be wrong. Fields, according to this verse, are not always white and ready to harvest. According to this verse. But as Joe so eloquently, as he always eloquently says, whatever he says, we have a duty to sow everywhere, even if there isn't. Even if the field isn't white unto harvest. We have a duty to sow everywhere we go. The spread of the gospel is generational. Verses 31-32. Let's read this one. Verse 31-32. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is grown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. That's a big thing. Spread of the gospel is generational. The kingdom of heaven starts off very small, according to verse 31, less than all the seeds that be in the earth. And verse 32, generations later, it is huge. Ain't no way, man, that you can take a little seed that you can practically not even see and not need a whole lot of time for it to become a great tree. Palestine is not a jungle, folks. It's an arid wasteland. Very hot and dry there. Things, I'm convinced, I've never been there, but I'm just assuming, being from California, things don't grow very fast in hot, dry, not humid areas. So this little seed is being thrown out, and it's the smallest seed in the world. It's going to take time, a long time, before it goes from that little tiny seed that you can't even see when you're standing up to be a great tree that is shade for a whole lot of birds. The emphasis is on the length of time. The spread of the gospel, it's going to take a long time. But generations later, according to 32, it becomes greater than all herbs. Great branches it speaks of. It takes a great many years for that to happen. Look at this, folks. What this church is doing now, people are still going to be experiencing generations after we're gone. Many years after all of us are in heaven, and we're more like Joe West, because we can eat and eat and eat and not gain any weight too. Right, Joe? That'll be one of the blessings of heaven. Many generations after that, it's a possibility that people in Poland will still be having meetings where they glorify the name of Jesus, because Joe and Brent went generations earlier and started the custom, the biblical custom. I see this in this verse. I got a wild imagination. You lead people to Christ like these guys do. And those people that are led to Christ, they have children. They teach their children. And their children teach their children. If those children get saved, they lead their children to Christ. And it continues until the return of Jesus Christ, the end of time. This is a generational thing we're involved in here. Not only in Poland, in Mexico. Wherever we go, it's a generational thing. If we get involved in the generational thing. The generational thing starts with this generation, starts with us. The Bible project that Joe and Brent and Josh are involved in. My word, this thing is gorgeous that they've done. They have put together a Bible that is a reference Bible. Now that doesn't sound too cool to we Americans who have everything and then some. But if I'm not mistaken, this is the first reference Bible in Polish. Amen. This is the first reference Bible of the Textus Receptus in Polish language. This is the first, this will be when these guys finish it, will be the first Textus Receptus, King James, Polish Bible, modern language, reference Bible in the Polish language. And when all of us are in heaven enjoying the benefits of being able to eat and eat and eat and not gain any weight like Joe has now, we'll be able to look over the battlements of heaven. Joe and Brent will look over the battlements of heaven and say, look, there's one of our Bibles down there for all eternity. This is a generational thing, sports fans. I'm not sure. Sometimes I have my doubts out there in those cold days. But this is the greatest thing in the world. This is the greatest thing you can do. Because we're going to live someplace forever. It's either heaven or hell. If we're born again, we're going to be in a really fantastic place forever. But most people are not going to be there. Whether it's our fault or not, I'm not exactly convinced. But I am convinced of this. If we're not doing anything, if we're not preaching the gospel, it's definitely our fault. It's a generational thing. These guys are starting customs, the open meetings. The open meetings will be taking place in these churches long after they're dead, after they're really alive forever. I hate that word dead for Christians. Open meetings will be going on someplace because Joe and Brent went to Poland one time. The name of Jesus will be glorified in all the churches that they have planted. And even the idea, the custom of street preaching. We've had a hand in starting that custom. Because if I remember right, there wasn't anything like that going on in Poland before we went there. Now, in our church in Warsaw, I don't know what it is in Peru, and maybe there's somebody, one of the Poles were over there street preaching, I don't know. But I know in our little church in Warsaw, little Bull, I call him Bull, Pete, his name is Peter, Piotr, he's been street preaching now for about 3 years with me. So the custom has been started, and it was started by this church, and it will continue, hopefully, the Lord willing, long after we're living forever. Now, look at this. Look at this. This is one of the most exciting things that I see with my wild imagination. In 31 and 32, read the verses again. I know you guys are getting tired. I'm circling the airfield. Really. Really. Verse 31 and 32. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth up great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now this is talking about a whole lot of people. A whole lot of people. And even if we don't see it now, maybe it's a promise for massive revivals in the future. Massive outpourings of the Holy Spirit. If you read in church history, some of those guys that lived hundreds of years ago, they believed in a future mighty moving of the Holy Spirit where multitudes of people are drawn to Christ and the whole nation of Israel is saved. That was a common teaching hundreds of years ago. And these people were not stupid. They knew the Scriptures probably better than all of us put together. Take a look. Look at this. Just two more verses and I will close, I promise. Hebrews 11:12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Let's talk about a whole lot of people. I don't see that today. You read back in Christian history, you don't see stuff like that. You don't see innumerable numbers of people. The brothers and the brethren and sistren living hundreds of years ago who knew the Scriptures really well, they were able to look forward and say that someday there's going to be a lot of mass movings of God's Holy Spirit and a lot of people are going to get saved. And a lot of those people will be having open meetings like Joe and Brent have now. A lot of those people will be preaching on the streets like we do now. A lot of those people be especially glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus because it started here. This is a generational thing. And it'll continue if we continue it. Another one. Last verse. I promise. Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Don't see it. I don't see it. Don't read it in church history. But I read it here. There's going to be a lot of people. And that speaks of future revivals. Mass outpourings of God's Holy Spirit. And it's not this stupidity that these charismatics are doing today. It's going to be a special movement of God's Holy Spirit. Brethren in the past taught that. I believe it still. And we have a hand in that. Because all of this is generational. The kingdom of heaven starts out very small. With one or two people. Adam and Eve. The growth of the kingdom is very long and slow, lasting many generations. These generations grow from each other. And the sowers are often ignorant of the process and the progress. Fruit is promised after this long process, possibly very great numbers. Modern society, of which we are a part, is geared for speed. We are the instant gratification generation. And this fact of time is difficult for us to accept. It's difficult for me to accept. But as my old drill sergeant said to me many years ago, it ain't nothing but a thing, man. This too shall pass. Thank you for your time and patience and your extreme generosity.